You got to ride a bike. Otherwise, how will you get sweaty when you're going places?
I walk.
Moving buildings. Flying. The river crossing. Oh, no.
Over the sea. Horses over the sea.
Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, game.
Sean Bean dies.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
This is Boars Going Swords,
the third best Ghostbusters podcast on the internet. How are we going to wring this many episodes out of one film? Listen, when you can't cover the content, you cover the controversy.
Oh, no. I don't want to cover the controversy at all.
No one wants to cover the controversy. Look, ding dong. It's very stupid.
Yeah, no, here's the whole of the controversy. Ding dong, Milo's dead.
Aha! About time.
Yeah.
It is about time.
Yeah.
Listen, it just goes to prove there's no one more powerful in the world than black female comedians.
Crushing it. They run this internet.
They really do.
Yeah. In fact, we've changed it up. There's now Twitter and white Twitter. Black Twitter is now the default.
Listen, black Twitter's always been the default for me. I don't know what your Twitter looks like.
Hashtag Dem Thrones.
My timeline looks like a beautiful chocolate cornucopia.
I just realized how bad white Twitter sounds. I was just switching the default.
You should see how bad white Twitter reads. It reads terribly.
Oh, I've been following the Republican convention. It's not going well. It is not going well.
Oh, let me tell you, that's a shit show. That is a legitimate one of the worst shit shows I've ever seen. Did you watch The Avocado Farmer?
It's a feces spectacle. I did not.
There was a lady who was used to be an actress who's now an avocado farmer, and she was like, there's one thing I know, it's that America needs our two greatest resources, acting and avocados.
I mean,
one of those things is correct.
Yeah. I did buy half a dozen avocados yesterday, so I have a hard time arguing. It's like when somebody makes a lot of sense on one aspect of their platform and you're forced to consider the other aspects. Like, well, maybe we need more actors than I thought we did.
I just hope you get to enjoy what will likely be 20% of the avocados that you get to eat.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Dave Thomason who said to somebody on Facebook, I'm sorry I can't come to your show tomorrow, but I have an avocado, and it's going to be right between 8:20 and 8:53.
It's a very small window. It's a very small window, but when you get in that window, boy.
Oh, I just want to thank our Patreon listeners for listening, for supporting the show. It is because of you that this exists. And to explain what's going on a little bit, we are covering in the off season. We mentioned it once, but not nearly enough at length. We are going to cover three book clubs and then one other. There's going to be a lot of what you should be watching on the fourth week. And so this week, actually, before I get to that, I want to mention, if you are in San Francisco, I have a show that I am producing along with Kasim Bentley, along with Joseph Nguyen, and along with Jeff Samari, who are all very funny people. Mm-hmm. And you can come see me in San Francisco, Saturday, July 30th. It's on a Saturday, a weekend, guys. You can find that at keepitgoing.eventbrite.com. So come out to that show. That'll be fun.
And if you're in Florida, may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, are you registered to vote yet? Do you need somebody to help you come register to vote? It sounds like you literally might be. Are you able to vote? Is there a criminal record I don't know about that's preventing you from voting?
Listen, I don't have any felonies on my record that I know of.
So we should check that out, because we really need you to vote.
Know of.
I don't think that's how usually they inform you. There's usually a lot of mail.
There's a lot of mail
produced by felonies.
There's usually a judicial process, isn't there?
Usually you get a couple new friends, all named Officer.
Wait a second. You mean Officer Krupke has an ulterior motive?
A+ for Krupke.
Listen, I did watch fairly recently watch West Side Story.
There you go. I was wondering why we're getting so many West Side Story references last week.
I watched West Side Story. I watched My Fair Lady. I watched part of The King and I, which, by the way, that is some white devilry. Ooh, yikes, is that some white devilry. I believe I stopped watching during the extended musical adaptation of Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Wow.
Yeah, let me tell you, whenever I go back and watch a classic film, I will be like, oh, in all of the various references to this classic film that I've seen, they do not reference this part for a very obvious reason.
No.
And let me tell you, they really gloss over the whole blackface Uncle Tom's Cabin musical adaptation section of The King and I.
My Fair Lady I watched for the first time last year, and as is my wont, I went into the data. First of all, that movie is comically long. Holy shit, nobody warned me.
Yo, back in the day, they could just make a three-hour musical, and people would watch that shit.
The version I had still has the intermission.
Yeah, I love that. I love any time either do the very shortened intermission, or they just keep the entire, 10-minute-long intermission in the middle of the movie.
Also, so the year that came out was the same year the first James Bond came out, and I looked it up. The first James Bond that came out, I believe in 1963, cost $1 million. The first My Fair Lady, My Fair Lady.
Wait, listen, you can't overstate the importance of the My Fair Lady cinematic universe.
Cost $13 million. That costume drama cost 13 times as much as James Bond.
I'm going to tell everybody right now, I do not recommend a lot of other podcasts because I feel like we're the only podcast anybody should be listening to at any time.
Obviously.
Everybody needs to listen to You Must Remember This. It's such a good fucking podcast. It's all about stories from old Hollywood, and it's told kind of lore / serial, one person doing an extended, one story an episode, very well-researched and well-acted.
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking good. They did a 12-part Manson series. They did Stars During World War II. They did The Many Lives of Howard Hughes. And it's Karina Longworth, who has a very pleasant voice and who is an excellent writer. So everybody should listen to that just to see how fucking crazy old Hollywood used to be.
Has the sound quality?
Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent sound quality. Very well produced.
I will allow it.
Yeah.
All right. This is what happens when we start podcasting at 10 a.m. We have so much energy. We have interests. We have a life we're living.
That one person who was like, I never want to hear you digress.
What's crazy is I went to that guy's Twitter feed like 3 tweets ago was him shitting on us for the same thing 4 years ago. He only tweets shit at us and then keeps listening. So good to have you as a listener. Listen, I'll allow once every 2 years.
He's nothing if not consistent.
Yeah, he's very consistent.
All right. By the way.
What?
He's really going to be pissed when we get into Parks and Recap.
Oh, Parks and Recap is going to be a great show. It might just take over this whole podcast. I think it falls in line with our title.
It really does.
Yeah. There was a sword at some point. Ron Swanson would certainly approve.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into this episode, we are covering Netflix's Stranger Things, a movie. Oh, sorry. Wow.
That happened pretty early on this one.
Well, what's crazy is a web series. It's not even a TV show.
My God, Winona Ryder sunk so low to be starring in a web series.
Her, Kevin Spacey, all these people just stuck in web series and it's awful. Mindy Kaling.
I mean, my God, they might as well be on Super Deluxe and not even the new one.
They're basically falling as low as YouTube star Fred. Man, that's an old YouTube reference, too. I don't think he even exists anymore.
I mean, my God, he's been dead for years now.
I love the idea that there's an out-of-date YouTube reference. That makes me so happy.
So next, you're going to talk about how we should all be watching The Angry Orange.
Oh, Moses. Okay, so this is a web series I hadn't heard about until yesterday when you were like, we should watch this new Netflix show. And I was like, sure, why not? Spielbergian. Kid horror.
To be fair, I was like, well, obviously we have to cover Ghostbusters and get a guest who is female. And you were like, but that requires work. And I was like, that is a fair point. That is an excellent fair point.
Well, we were having this conversation at 3 p.m. the day before we needed to record it. So I was like, well, I'm not watching it tonight. And you want to record at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So no. And then, so this show, I hadn't heard of until you mentioned it, and then literally while I was watching it, I think I got 3 people tweeting at the accounts that we should do a What You Should Be Watching of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So we fucking nailed this one on the head.
We really did. It is basically 80s throwback horror in the vein of It Follows and The Babadook, and one of the, a film I personally love, which kind of started the revivalist 80s horror swing, Ty West's The House of the Devil, which everybody should watch.
Just for context, someone explain, like, my experience with those is nothing. I just heard of them for the first time right now. I don't know about them. I haven't watched them. I won't watch them. And I'm liking this a lot.
You don't? You haven't watched The Babadook?
No, I've
how do you get all of the Babadook jokes?
Oh, let me tell you, friend. Hanging out with you, there's a lot of smiling and nodding.
That's really all I've wanted from a significant partner.
I approve of your terrible choices. So this is, I know, even going through the people making it, I was like, everybody said Spielbergian, and I got the idea that maybe it was directed by Spielberg. And the director is the Duffer Brothers, who, again, who the fuck is that? What's weird is, like, I could tell they were doing an homage to 80s something, but I feel like they both, well, so first of all, I will say, to its credit, it completely stands up by itself. Like, I don't know any of the references, and I'm just loving this show. But also, some of the references are so heavy-handed, like, they have... The title screen is, like, done with, like, 80s laser style, and it also has, like, the film flex that you get when you get, like, a bad reel in a movie theater back before they had digital projection. And it's just, it's a bizarre thing. It's a bizarre thing. I don't think they needed to stage it as a throwback thing, but I do have a lot of fun making fun of people's wardrobes.
That's real fun. And let me tell you, I just love... shitty 80s John Carpenter style synthesizer soundtracks.
Man, that
and this is nothing but that.
That's you're getting a lot of synth. There hasn't been more synth since the early 70s.
And also the references are generally fairly heavy-handed, but I love them anyway. They literally name drop an X-Men issue that I immediately went to check on, and it was the Hellfire Club Dark Phoenix.
Oh man.
I was like, all right, these guys know their stuff. these fucking nerds are appealing directly to the demographic of me.
Have you ever heard of the Duffer Brothers?
No.
Yeah, who are they?
I just looked them up just now, and apparently they've done some like promotional stuff for websites. But they really have not done anything extremely popular at all.
Man, who convinced Netflix to just dump all of the money on their porch?
I have no idea what the pitching process for Netflix is.
Yeah, and it's like, who cares about brother director teams anymore? All of the best brother director teams are now sister director teams.
When did the Coens transition?
And I'm uninterested in that genre anymore.
Oh, so you're not going to watch Sense8 Season 2 with all of our friends in it?
I might watch Sense8. First of all, that is a beautifully shot show. And second of all, there's some great performances in it. It took a while to get on board. I'm not against Sense8. I like that show.
All right. I still haven't watched it at all.
I think it's the problem is they explicitly made a 8-hour long movie. And so it's like, you know, the first 2.5 hours are like just getting you on board. And that's, you know, sometimes you don't have time for that.
Also, the Wachowskis did manage to somehow go through every little bit of goodwill I had for The Matrix years ago. I do not have any goodwill left for the Wachowskis.
I don't know what they made last, but a lot of their movies...
Oh, Jupiter Ascending.
I enjoyed that. I'm not going to say it was stupid that anybody gave them that much money, but I had a lot of fun watching that. Similarly with Speed Racer, enjoyed that. That was fun.
Speed Racer is very divisive in that the people who, most of the people who watched it didn't like it, but the people who did like it love that fucking movie.
That's great.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't realize what a recipe recording early is for divergences for us.
Listen, I personally have always felt that we don't need themes. We should just be able to go off at this point. But the people want themes.
The people like themes.
Yeah.
We open November 6th, 1983.
3 years and 4 days before a legend was born.
The year the greatest man in the history of podcasting was born.
No, it was 3 years before that.
It was
3 years before the greatest man in
the
history of podcasting.
It was the ideal year to be born.
3 years, four days exactly before the greatest podcaster who was ever born was born.
It was a mere 5 months after the world's greatest podcaster was born so that this genius baby could be sentient enough to appreciate everything that was happening.
One baby cared about audio quality. The other baby didn't. What will they do?
And Hawkins, Indiana, a city and state that I know nothing about. I don't know anything about Hawkins or Indiana. But I'm going to say, let me, 62% fake city. That's what I'm going to say.
All I know is it must be near Pawnee.
20% not a real state.
I assume every single city in Indiana is right next to Pawnee.
It's right on top of it. Also, 70% Pawnee is a fake city. I have no idea. We cut initially to Hawkins National Laboratory, is how I call anything that is this evil ceases to be a laboratory and is now a laboratory.
That is the evil way to pronounce laboratory.
Yeah, I feel like the Austrians started it, and then we're just continuing it.
Here's the thing. Anytime you have flickering lights, it means two things. You're about to get attacked by a monster. You need to find a better contractor for your electrical work.
Those are
the only two things.
I feel like they hired a contractor and they weren't mathematically inclined, and they were like, you can save 30 cents a light if you get a 3 hertz fluorescent light. And he's like, I do like saving money. That seems like plenty of hertz.
And this was all leading up, obviously, to a Hertz donut reference.
Oh, it was on the way there.
Contractors are constantly trying to get you on that Hertz donut.
It's owned by the Department of Energy. I have a friend who works there. He used to work on nuclear proliferation, and now he does budgets, which seems like a step backwards, but he's happy.
Huh. Fair enough.
Wait, nuclear deproliferation? So I think this is one of those, like, where you donate money to AIDS and it sounds like the wrong thing, but it isn't. He's trying to stop nuclear proliferation.
Oh, okay.
He's not advocating it.
Fair enough.
That's the city.
Wait. Your friend thinks that there aren't enough nuclear warheads on this planet?
He's physically building more of them and giving them out to homeless children.
Who really, if anybody needs a nuclear warhead the most, it's homeless children.
They are going to solve some problems with those. Now, here's the thing. I always tell him, give a child a nuclear weapon, explode for a day.
Give a child a nuclear warhead, let them sell it to Syria.
Yeah. Eat for the rest of their life. Which will be very short unless you move away.
Oh, incredibly short. Incredibly short. Mutually assured destruction is a real thing.
So that we meet our first character, a bald, sweaty man with a mustache, an archetype that is clearly not going to make it.
Oh, I just love how this guy managed to look like Brian Husky and Tony Hale at the same time.
I literally said he appeared, and like they did one of those, like they showed his face and then it turned, and I was like, was that Brian Husky?
That's literally what I said. I was like, wow, Brian Husky is working these days.
Dude, he's getting some action. But no, nope. It turns out Brian Husky can't even get murdered on Netflix. What is it about fluorescent lights being so out of sync that's so inherently evil? And then of course we get the great, like, he's panicking, waiting for the elevator doors to close, and the thing was already in the elevator.
And it was above him.
And, right.
And it's like, dude, I know Aliens doesn't come out for another 3 years, but they're always in the walls.
They're always in the walls. They know the one thing that Aliens cannot understand is why we always look to the open spaces for our enemies.
I know, they're constantly like, why are these people just functioning on a two-dimensional axis?
It seems like they're very simple people. We cut to sprinklers, which I don't know what that's meant to represent, and a group of kids playing Dungeons & Dragons, I think? I still have never played Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, they're definitely playing Dungeons & Dragons, but they were playing the kind of Dungeons & Dragons where it's like, these people obviously haven't played a lot of Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're going to throw in a good D&D monster for this, you don't go Demigorgon, you go Cambion. You go for a good cambion, a nice half demon, half human monster.
I like Arabica personally. I completely am with you on this scene though, because it reminds me of The West Wing whenever they play poker.
Until, oh my god,
it's so bad. There's like, they're splashing the pot, there's stringer bets, there's like, they, if the dialogue ends at a certain point, they just completely skip people whose turn it is. Like it's a monstrosity.
People are just constantly calling and folding with no consequences.
Yes, no consequences whatsoever. Though I will admit, for the Foley, I'm sure every time somebody's been judged for their shitty poker play, it's because the Foley man wanted a nice chip splash. Come on, slam it down. Just like toss it out there. Get that nice like clack.
Oh, that clickety clack clack, clickety clack clack clack.
Yeah, it's all most Foley men need to achieve orgasm.
Mm-hmm. We get the language is very throwback 80s. They call each other pussies, which was something you could do before feminists had you arrested for it.
Yes, it's there's a lot of man. This. It reminds me of, there's been other 80s stuff, but for whatever reason, nothing I have seen that's so 80s resonated with me as much as this does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the names are spot on. Literally, one of the characters' moms is Karen, and then Barb is another character, and I'm like, my mom's name is Karen, her best friend's name was Barb. This is creepy.
Wait, so your mom's name is Karen. What's her maiden name? Also, what was the name of your childhood pet? Also, what are the last four digits of your soch?
Well, to answer those questions in order, it's I'm a crook. what was the second one?
Childhood pet's name.
All right. That was Isis Forever. And then the last one.
And your soch?
And then my soch was just six repeating.
Hell yeah, yeah. Soch of the devil.
So and then the parents, there's also, what's weird is like, you get, what's weird about it is it is they are honoring the stuff from that era. You get the language that you can't say today. You also get parents, the parental relationships haven't been like reformed in the way that people would like modern parental relationships to be. You have the classic disengaged, clueless father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's almost not even a character in this series.
Oh, are we talking about the
D&D
the
kids.
One dad who's the business cracker?
Yes, business cracker. That would be him.
I looked at him and I was like, there's no way I can't not call that guy a cracker. I have to call that guy a cracker.
I actually backed up about eight times where there's like the fight at the dinner table between the mom and the kids, and he's the last one there. And she's like, nice one, Tyler. And he's like, what did I do?
What did I do?
It was very comical.
And then he just eats a big can of saltines.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Business cracker.
And also the least attractive of your friends trying to hit on the hot older sister. I hadn't realized the extent to which that is the ultimate 80s trope.
It's so... Actually, I feel like the ultimate 80s trope that they do in the show is the kid trying to climb into the window.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very 80s. You had to be so good at climbing into windows if you were a horny kid in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, God. It's like, it's all that you could do. It was their aim.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was.
And it's like... As a Game of Thrones podcast, you have to get nervous when you see that in a piece of media.
I have been trained at this point to expect anybody climbing into a window to get pushed out of it.
But then eventually they get magical powers, so it's not all bad.
Yeah, listen, anybody who gets pushed out a window eventually gets magical powers, unless they die. And really, though, dying is the ultimate magical power.
Yeah, you get to see what's on the other side.
God, to finally get shuffled off this mortal coil? What's more magical than that?
Nothing. Nothing. The other bowl cut friend admits that the roll was a 7 and that they all died or something.
Oh no. The kid was like, it got me. And I was like, oh yikes, that kid's going to die. That kid is going to die.
That's an excellent call. I just believe what's on the screen in front of me. And unless I've seen it 100 times before, I like never draw the parallel. If you're playing a game, whatever happens in the game is going to happen in the movie every time.
Every
time.
Yeah, and if you die in the game, you die in real life.
Right, that is also true. I mean, it literally is.
I mean, listen. Why do you think Oculus Rift has such a small user base?
I don't know.
People keep dying.
And here's the thing you need to know about this series. This is the first. So we only needed to watch one episode. I ended up watching three episodes.
I watched two. I believe I got 10 minutes into the third one.
The cliff,
which really opens fucking crazy.
Yeah. And it opens crazy and it ends crazy too. And I was like, I gotta sleep. I gotta wake up for podcast. And I was very upset.
Oh yeah, we should state formally that we're only doing the pilot.
So we're not going to spoil anything past the pilot for you.
Yeah. We are incapable of spoiling anything past the pilot.
We're not going to do it. Because I didn't take any notes past that.
Yeah.
So if you are, I've been a longtime advocate of this, but this show's sound work is amazing. And if you're not listening to this, if you're not listening to this with surround sound, you are missing out on a serious dimension in this show. I would rather have, and this, for movie watching, I would rather have $100 shitty surround sound system that's just made of cardboard, terrible speakers, than I would have two really nice speakers. Like, just the ability to have stuff like shuffle behind you in the bushes, and it adds a whole terrifying pant-shitting dimension.
By the way, what's your ideal premium movie watching theater experience? Are you a D-Box guy?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's the chair that has the built-in speakers and like moves around according to the action on the screen.
Oh, now I haven't seen that used, but I'm very interested. I'm very compelled. Reasonably, I'd like a nice nice, you know, Odyssey LCD 4 $2,000 headphones, nice amp, and then I'm gonna want one of those converters that takes 7.1 sound and converts it to binaural sound, so that you're in the exact perfect spot when you're watching the movie. That's you know. Also, the weird thing, the only downside of that is you literally get to be the only person watching.
but wait, so is your ideal movie watching experience sitting in a geodesic dome alone?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
I mean, that is everyone's dream. Like, the thing, one of the worst things about having to go to a movie theater is that there are other people there sapping your enjoyment and experience from you.
Oh, that is absolutely true. Although, you know what? I gotta say, I went to an anime festival, and that was some of the best movie-going crowds I've ever seen in South Florida.
The
South Florida theater crowds are the worst fucking people. I almost have gotten into so many fucking fights trying to watch movies in Miami, but those anime nerds instinctively knew, don't keep your phone on, don't talk during the movie, especially because everybody's trying to read subtitles.
It's a lot easier for an audience to enforce itself when everyone has swords.
There were a few sword fights.
Yeah, that'll... Yeah, you don't have to ask somebody to put their cell phone away. There's just a slice and then half a cell phone missing. All right, so surround sound is great. We go from there to Honest Kid. What was his name? Will?
Will.
Will. Will Byers. Yeah, we don't get the title screen for like two more scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Will Byers is the honest kid who admitted that he rolled the wrong thing and they got him.
By the way, how fucking false is it? How fucking false does it ring that they didn't have any spare dice?
Yeah. The one thing you have as a child is spare dice.
You have is spare dice. You have a tiny velvet pouch full of spare dice.
I had extra D20s, and I didn't even play a game that required D20s.
Same.
That and Pogs, that's all I had. The honest kid totally saw a long-limbed alien. I did not like that at all.
Oh, the alien I fucking hated. I loved it.
Okay, good.
It was just scary.
It was scary, yeah.
Scary.
God, I feel like I'd be able to handle these movies better if the camera operator could just focus on the alien so I could get a good clean look at him.
Are you like, listen, we just need a good, like, 2 minute still shot of the alien not moving.
Right. And then I'd be much less creeped out, and then I'd be much more comfortable. I think that's what's missing from these movies.
Comfort shots.
Comfort
that
shots.
That is
exactly
what we need. A nice, comforting, still shot of an alien not doing anything.
I get it. They're moving fast. They're murdering a lot of people. You don't want to get too close. But, like, you know, just set up a photo studio beforehand and then include that as an insert with the, with the web series. Have it in the bonus material. I can just click on it, get the bios of all the aliens, like where they went to college, you know, their stats, how many they've killed, how many they've saved, whether they're understood or misunderstood. Yeah, just all that would be great.
Completely fair. The alien uses its power to make the little chain on the door slide off.
Yeah.
And really, if a small chain on your door isn't going to protect you, you might as well kill yourself right then. There's no greater protection than a small chain on your door. Everybody knows it.
I spent this whole episode being like, now can they only move metal, or can they move anything? So it seems like they have a general targeted telekinesis.
Yeah, until like the second episode.
Yeah. It wasn't clear.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I typed in all caps right here, okay, I'm terrified at this moment. This is, do you know what this struck me as? So he goes into his house. The alien breaks into his house. He goes out the back door into the shed in the back. Will does. And it's very scary, but it's also very similar to E.T., which came out the same year in the movies. And I couldn't stop thinking that this is like the alternate version of E.T., where E.T. really is a fucking monster.
E.T., but with a xenomorph?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's exactly how this felt to me. And
you keep trying to feed it Skittles and it just implodes your chest.
Another way, this was very early 80s. They showed a kid who's being chased by an alien and does the only reasonable thing. Arms himself with a gun that he knows how to use. Kids with guns.
This is why you always keep a loaded rifle with you at all times.
If he had had a loaded rifle, would he have been captured? Probably not. And then of course I had the modern person's fear. I was like, oh, he's gonna like kill someone who's not an alien. And then he didn't. It was a happy ending.
What a happy story.
What a wonderful, wonderful story. It turns out that the alien was in the shed with him the whole time.
That's so fucking cheap. I did hate that. When it was like the alien was like already in the shed. I hate when they do.
Well, that's also the second time that's happened this episode. We had the elevator where he was on top, and then now he's in the shed. So apparently, they're real sneaky.
The alien has the magical ability to see a minute into the future of the episode.
And also, they did the classic thing where the alien, when we can see him in the background, is incredibly slow and gangly, as the stuntman just sort of waves his limbs around to no effect, and the kid is easily able to outrun him. But as soon as he's out of frame, they're the fastest thing in the universe and completely silent.
Yeah, this is definitely classic 80s alien monster alien.
Right. And then the light got real bright and the kid disappeared. And I can tell you from the shot of the light bulb that they are shooting digitally and not with film.
Listen, nobody can afford to shoot on film these days.
No, nobody can. But I thought they were going authentic early 80s. They should at least be shooting on Betamax.
I'm like, yo, VHS or nothing.
Nothing. A Netflix of... So... I very much appreciated the irony of a Netflix original series in this ridiculous laser-cut 80s font.
A Netflix fairly unoriginal but good series.
Yeah, somebody was like, I wish this was more original. And it's original if you haven't seen all this other stuff that it's apparently based on.
Look, if you haven't been reading Fangoria for most of your life, a lot of this is going to be new to you.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is, like... I think I was seeing stuff that I recognized from people referencing those movies, like sort of the Simpsons syndrome.
Oh, it's very Simpsons syndrome.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff that I was like, I've seen that effect made fun of before. yeah, they added the film flex in the theme. I don't know what to call those. Do you know what I'm talking about? The little like white spots in the black.
I don't know what the exact technical term for it is. I mean, film grain? No.
No, that's not grain. That's,
no.
It's literally like holes worn in the film from running the film so many times. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the term.
I don't know the exact technical term.
Okay.
Listen, neither of us went to film school. Neither of us spent an inordinate amount of money for a terrible education. At least in film.
No. I did take a community college class in film once. That teacher,
how did that work out?
It was hilarious. I've never had such what's the word? Just shitty, but also just like her. The instructor would literally just say whatever came to her mind and had no actual thoughts. And so when we took, I think it was the midterm, mm-hmm. we had an essay. And I don't remember what the topic was supposed to be. I'm going to say on film. And I remember just being like, I'm going to bullshit the fuck out of this. I like didn't even address. I just sucked up and called film the greatest thing that has ever existed. And I still remember my opening line was like, film, like all good art. And so it was like, it was embarrassing how bad it was. I knew this class was very easy to pass, so I put zero effort into it. And I got to the next class after that early. And the teacher was there, professor was there, and she asked me to come up to the front, and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to fail this class. This is bad. And then she was like, can I read your essay out loud to the class? That was the hardest I've ever had to try not to laugh in my life.
That's a beautiful story. That really is.
Oh my God. I got an A in that class. It was great.
The moral of the story is never try.
Never try. Don't do it.
So we get the cast is fairly decent. Winona, yeah. Always appreciated.
Oh,
Matthew
very much.
Matthew Modine. I love a good Matthew Modine. David Harbour as the sheriff.
Great.
I really enjoy.
Loved.
Yeah.
I will say this is, if you have been like, If one of your turn-ons is Winona Ryder crying, first of all, see a psychiatrist. But also, this is the series for you. I mean,
let me tell you, she gets to play full terrified mom.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I honestly, like, they had to be into the fake tears by like 20 seconds into this. She weeps for 3 hours solid, based on what I've seen.
Yeah. She's only weeping. Weeping and screaming and occasionally being electrocuted.
She does start a radio show at one point called Never Not Crying. It's surprisingly popular.
You can always just skip the first 20 minutes of crying, though.
You can always skip then she really gets into it.
Yeah. So once the guest crier comes on, then it really gets good.
Chapter 1, The Vanishing of Will Byers is the name, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're referencing with this format. I did love a bunch of Schlitz beer cans on the table, which my father always mentions as one of three beers that was available at that time. Schlitz, Reindeer, and there was a third one that I cannot remember. It's probably like Mickey's or something.
Mm-hmm. And I just love how he's just like shirtless, gut hanging out, pants not entirely buttoned, just the life of a king, surveying the kingdom and letting it all hang loose.
He drank Schlitz and smoked 80s weed, and both are equally disgusting and ineffectual.
They really were.
Yeah, early 80s weed and early 80s beer are neither of them. They're signs of vices, and they do nothing for you.
Hydroponics really changed the game.
Changed it. There were so many. I was thinking about the differences between the throwback comedy and the throwback drama or mm-hmm. horror in this element. And in the comedy, they always take the cars, the outfits, the hairstyles that are the most out of place in today's society, and that's mm-hmm. all anybody has.
Yeah,
and then in the
everybody has feathered hair.
Everybody has
feathered hair in the 80s.
And then in the dramas, for the most part, they try and find that section of haircuts, of outfits, of cars that are the least ridiculous mm-hmm. to modern taste, so that like people won't just like guffaw the whole time. And mm-hmm. I feel like this show, to its credit, had a nice even spread of like some truly ridiculous haircuts and outfits and some acceptable ones.
Oh, let me tell you, when the big ginger friend comes in with the dress that has that collar on it,
yeah.
I was like,
Hot.
Yo, what kind of school marm shit is this?
Man, I was... First thought you have to say is vampire. And then...
Only vampires have frilled collars.
Yeah, high frilled collars. And then they went to a wider shot, and you were like, no vampire would wear jeans that high-waisted. Not in that light stonewash.
High waist, high collars. It's the 80s, baby.
Man. The mom's name's Karen, as I mentioned, perfectly area appropriate. Joyce, also a wonderful name that no longer exists. And the bikes, I do question, maybe it's different in Indiana, the banana seats on bikes. And I realized they needed to be there later for dual ridership purposes, but I felt like banana seats had gone out of style by then. I guess they were older bikes, but threw me off a little bit.
All right, fair enough. I have no opinions on bicycles because I neither know how to ride them nor care to.
You got to ride a bike. Otherwise, how will you get sweaty when you're going places?
I walk. That gets me sweaty enough as is.
Oh, right, Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, you can only move through car. That is the greatest restriction on your travel, car or lack of car.
Yeah. So kids getting bullied, again, a classic 80s bullying scene. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me, like, the bully had some good lines when he rolled up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like bullies are so much more charismatic in cinema. Like, they have a real carnival barker, vaudevillian aspect that I feel like is lost with real bullies.
Yeah. And now it's just like, if you have a bully, you just shoot them in the head.
Yes. It's just a much more modern era.
It really is.
And that's why you have your loaded gun sitting around.
Exactly. That's why you bring your loaded rifle to school and you shoot your bully in the head. That's what you do in the modern era.
And I don't even know how to talk about this, but one thing that they went for that seems crazy to me is they went for the, like, friend who they all make fun of, who has, like, a very visible...
Disability. Yeah. Yeah. The curly ethnic hair.
Yeah.
Who wants to fuck the brunette older sister.
Right.
Who obviously I identify with him very deeply.
Yeah. And he doesn't have all of his teeth. And there's apparently a name for it that he knows that they drop to the bullies. He drops it as a defense. He's like, I don't just not have teeth. I have this disorder. So please. Yeah. Cease and desist with the bullying. Does not go over as well as you'd think.
Yeah, listen, this ain't Tumblr.
I think when you were watching this and Steve approached Nancy, did you get the feeling that Steve did not actually care about studying?
I love how makeout focused everybody is in 80s movies. Oh. Every 80s movie is like makeout patrol at makeout beach, and I love it. Kids don't make out enough these days. I never made out enough those days.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Possibly it was because you were reading too many feminist Tumblrs to use some of the strategies. Listen, that Steve engaged in.
This was pre-Tumblr.
Right? Oh, yeah, no, it was very pre-Tumblr.
This was very pre-Tumblr.
Excuse me.
God, I didn't make out with a girl until at least MySpace.
you were maybe... They weren't reading all the feminist zines that you were reading.
Feminist live journals, thank you.
Fair enough. Steve, who did he look like? The guy who plays Steve, it was bothering me for three fucking episodes.
God, I want to say he somehow looks like 80s James Spader, but also like 80s Robert Downey Jr.,
but both in,
like, not cool ways?
I couldn't place it. He looked like somebody to me, and it was very distracting. If anybody has another idea of what celebrity that's the character Steve looks like, hit me up on Twitter, @red_Scott. I want to know. I want to know. Maybe you and I were thinking of the same person. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's not one of my family members or something stupid like that. We get the police blazer.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce is missing her son, which is Joyce. So Joyce is the Winona Ryder character. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation. He has a good point.
Honestly, I don't think we should be podcasting right now. I think we should just be staring at each other and contemplating. We are both drinking coffee right now.
Yeah, very different coffee. Mm-hmm. Also, as somebody who feels very strongly about my mugs, I might have to buy you a mug. That mug is not...
Got... What, you don't like my Godiva mug?
No, but I'm glad your mom bought it for you.
She didn't buy it for me. She got it in a gift bag and told me this was my mug now.
Oh, that's
I
sad.
I hate living here so much. That's... my life is so terrible.
I guess as long as it's watertight. There was a moment where I was like, we can see her breath, but she's inside the police station. Then I realized, oh, she's smoking while she's talking to him.
Oh, was that it? I was just like, Damn, Indiana is cold.
Yeah, I think that's what it was supposed to be. But because it doesn't make any sense. It's not like everybody else in there was wearing jackets.
It does throw me off as somebody who mostly started going out in the mid-00s. Everybody's just smoking cigarettes inside.
All of the time.
It's crazy.
It's madness.
Yeah.
So I will say that Winona and the sheriff are going to bang. And my prediction at this point was episode 4 if they find the kid, 9 if they don't.
That's a good prediction, actually. That's a good bang prediction.
I feel very strongly about that.
There is some... Oof, they drop the specific sexual orientation slur that we should not be able to drop ourselves.
Oh, I may have blacked out during that part and not remembered it.
Yeah, I was like, damn, this is a real 80s throwback.
It's such a strange move, and we've talked about this before, but especially when you're doing a movie that's supposed to factually take place in a certain time period. Mm-hmm. Like what do? Do you whitewash those instances or are you like hiding the reality of what that era was and making it a golden era?
To be fair, that era lasted until like 8 years ago. 8 years, like the first Fast and the Furious does drop that line at one point.
Oh wow. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. That movie's just older than I think it is.
It's 10 years old at this point.
It's got to be. I'm surprised it's not older than that.
Yeah, it's just because they've managed to make a sequel almost every year since.
Man. Okay, I don't want to get sucked into that series.
Yeah.
Okay, so we cut from there to the evil government science people working for the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. We get Matthew Modine. Is he a platinum blonde or does he have white hair?
I think he has gone full white hair at this point.
I do believe
Matthew Modine is like 50s, 60s at this point.
I definitely felt like, I think what I decided is that he has white hair, but the color grading is very dramatic. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard to tell. Like it almost looks like platinum blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have to say there have been some advancements in radioactive suit technology since then. Apparently, they're just throwing like your standard Kirkland signature white plastic bags with some duct tape on them, and that's all they have to protect them from these evil aliens.
Yeah, I was like, "Yo, are those Uzis decontaminated?"
And while we're talking about horror movies, is it necessary for everyone to be breathing so heavily?
Listen, that's one of the ways that you ward off monsters. They hate human breath.
They really do. And also, don't everyone go down there. Fix the lights before you go in there. Spend the extra money. Get the LEDs at this point. We've realized it's a problem. Let's fix it. Clearly, you've got the budget. You've got money for duct tape suits.
The most extravagant decontamination method that exists, duct tape suits.
One of my favorite tropes that I did recognize is that the aliens are visually mold-based.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved the wall guts. I loved wall... I don't know if they were, like, a actual gut emission or just, like, a mold that they left behind.
Yeah.
But I loved that. Yo... Gross alien cocoon uterus?
Yeah.
I love a good gross alien cocoon uterus. Anytime that we get, like, alien flesh pulsating while it's attached to a wall, I'm all there for it.
Oh, it's great.
That is my thing. Yeah.
And it's also, like, people forget that this alien stumbling around, kidnapping people and taking them into alternate terrifying universes,
mm-hmm.
is an infant. He was just born.
Yeah. He's a baby!
Yeah, stop being so mean to him. And they say, so... I don't know if it's Matthew Modine or one of his lackeys says, and the girl? And I'm like, what girl? So the art for Stranger, what's it called again? Stranger Things. On the Netflix screen, there was a drawn picture of the girl, and there was a real life action picture. And the drawn one, I was like, okay, that's a girl. And then the real life one, I was like, okay, that's a young boy. And I was very impressed how androgynous they made this character out to be. And then it actually ended up being a plot point that people were confusing the gender of this person. So well done casting people.
Yeah. God, what's her name? Oh yeah, her name is like something Bobby Brown.
No.
And I was like, damn, that's problematic.
No. Nobody that age gets to be named Bobby Brown.
Yes, I believe her middle name is Bobby and her last name is Brown.
I don't think that her parents are going to be the greatest on sets. Then we cut from there to Bare Feet, presumably the girl in question. And in the, so she sneaks into the kitchen of a restaurant in a hospital robe. And the first thing I thought, whenever there's an escaped young person in a hospital robe who looks frail, I didn't know what it was, but immediately I was like, she has superpowers and will kill some of these people. Like,
they always have superpowers if you see somebody wandering around in a hospital robe who isn't in a hospital.
Yeah, but especially if your first thought is how frail and defenseless that person looks. that is cinema's version of a trap.
Mm-hmm. It really is. She sneaks behind.
If she were a caterpillar, she'd be bright orange.
Just covered in spikes and feathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. She sneaks back into the kitchen and starts eating fries. And I love when the burly diner cook was like, "All right, now you got to wash a fry basket worth of dishes."
When he saw her, when she was like shoving the fries into her mouth, my immediate reaction was like, "Not carbs, you're a professional actor. It will ruin your career."
Listen, you got to take care of your complexion. It's your moneymaker.
Yeah, he is overreacting to stolen French fries. These are not expensive foods.
Oh, I loved Burly Diner Cook so much, and that's why. Does this happen in that episode?
No. Let's not comment on him too far forward.
Let's just say, Burly Diner Cook
is great.
He lived hard and he burnt out fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We go to creepy teacher with a mustache. Did it come? It came. A ham radio.
Oh
man, they can talk to Australia. The holy grail of conversation.
And now you finally find out if the toilets flush the other direction.
Yeah, I was
all anybody cared about.
You can't. Were you very frustrated by this thing? You can't just talk without getting your ham radio license. That is unacceptable.
Somebody really needs to call the ham radio authority.
Yeah, I'm sure they have been notified and are furious. The hungover sheriff is not having any of this. The principal comes in and grabs the three kids. I will say that Sheriff Hopper is very much unlike a bunny rabbit, despite his name.
He's very much more Dennis Hoppery.
Yeah, much more Dennis Hoppery. He's like, my hair is thinning, I'm past my physical peak, I'm not getting laid like I would prefer to, so don't fuck with me.
Oh, I love that. I love the... Listen, there's a clear delineation between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
There was a lot of discussion of that.
I love when the sheriff is like, all right, no kid detectivery. Whatever you do, no kid detectivery.
So we cut from there to Winona Ryder talking to Will in a flashback. Did you catch the password to the fort?
Yes, I caught it. Fucking Radagast.
Radagast.
Fucking Radagast and his bunny sled.
a deep pull from the Lord of the Rings / Hobbit universe. I don't remember which book it's from. Lord of the Rings. It's Lord of the Rings because I saw that movie.
No, it's The Hobbit.
Oh, you're right. It is The Hobbit. I saw
it's
that
the
movie.
Hobbits.
I saw
Listen,
that movie.
Are you telling me you weren't paying incredibly close attention to all three of those films?
Yes, I saw the first.
By the way, have you watched the last one?
I saw.
I haven't.
I saw the first one for a podcast I do.
Mm-hmm. What podcast is that?
It's hard to remember. It was a long time ago. And then there were two more movies that I'm still waiting on. I'm hoping, like a fine wine, they mature. And 20 years from now, they will be drinkable.
They really won't.
No, I don't think so either. I'm really hoping that people forget about it, and then I can just not worry about having not seen it. Winona Ryder is going to take her child to see Poltergeist, and she absolutely should not take her child to see Poltergeist.
Oh, Poltergeist isn't that bad.
Poltergeist is the one where she, like, walks upside down the stairs on her hands
and
legs?
No, that's The Exorcist.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Poltergeist is the 80s one that's we're there here.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still going to have nightmares, but it's not that bad.
Oh, absolutely. That is definitely the classic 80s horror movie where it's, like, kind of for kids, but absolutely not for kids.
Right. It's a masochist basically made a movie for kids.
That was one of those really weird periods where, like, they knew that they had to make money off of kids, but they still made things really ultra violent. Like the second Conan movie is actually PG-13 instead of R because they wanted to get kids. God, the Terminator 2 Judgment Day, you could argue that it was made much more specifically for kids to watch.
That was still an R movie, though.
Oh, that was still an R movie, but it was definitely, you know, compared to The Terminator.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
We got buff bearded cook and girl now with giant yellow t-shirt. There is something always adorable about a very small child in a very large shirt.
Oh, little kid in big shirt?
Yeah.
That's always cute.
It's
always
adorable.
Cute.
And for a while, I was convinced the man with beard's name was Benihana.
No, it's just purely Benny.
It's just Benny. Benny
Hammond.
Benny
the burly diner cook.
Benny Hammond, I believe, was his name. She's got a tattoo, D11. They ask what it means. It means she was in the rap group before Eminem joined.
And, you know, they didn't have many more hits before or after.
Mm-mm. Unless you count Purple Pills,
which
I do now. I think they made a music video for I'm in Your Band or something like, I don't know. He called Child Services, which means everyone's going to come by soon. That was one of the classic, completely reasonable movie choices that is absolutely the wrong choice.
That really, there's only two things that a character like this can do in this scenario. It's either try to do the right thing and absolutely suffer for it, or try to molest them and absolutely suffer for it.
Right. So
there's really no middle ground in a movie, show slash movie like this.
Given the choices, I'm glad we ended up where we did.
Yeah, I am too, actually.
Yeah. And then she stopped an electrical engine with her mind, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. So we find out that she had, well, at this point, it feels like electrical manipulation, but it turns out to be telekinesis.
Right. Though it's one of the classic, it seems that performing telekinesis takes a lot out of her.
Mm-hmm.
It has the same effect as high temperatures. There's going to be some nosebleeds. When she does her most dramatic feat of telekinesis, she looks pretty raw after it. Mm-hmm. So it seems to take a huge amount out of her. It's not a very casual superpower.
Well, everybody knows that if you use your telekinesis too much, it depletes your status bar and eventually amounts to fatigue damage.
You got to hold on to that mana. So the sheriff takes some ibuprofen. He's like the serious murderous version of the Eureka sheriff.
Good old classic sci-fi.
Yeah, and they found
Sci-fi.
And they found, it's short for syphilis. They found a bike.
Which, by the way, I officially don't have.
A bike?
Or syphilis.
Oh, I forgot.
Both my bike test and my STD test came back negative.
I'm pretty sure you went to get tested, and the lab was like, I'm pretty sure he's just here to meet people.
Other screaming people.
There's a bunch of people listening to phone calls. Lonnie's new wife is being a real bitch, turns out. Some teenager just hung up on me. So Lonnie...
Oh, sorry. You missed it. You missed the initial scene where there's a bunch of people listening in on her phone call.
Yes, there are people listening in on all of the phone calls, which we assume I think we're meant to assume is related to the Department of Energy Matthew Modine scenario.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a prediction when she couldn't contact the dad, uh-huh, and they were listening in. My prediction was the alien is his dad,
which
very quickly gets disproven.
No, yeah, very quickly gets disproven.
Yeah.
So Lonnie is Joyce's husband, Winona, mm-hmm, Ryder's... Sorry, excuse me. Lonnie is Winona Ryder's ex-husband, and he has a new wife, a new lady, mm-hmm, excuse me, and Winona's contempt, Joyce's contempt for his new lady is pretty great and pretty classic. Yeah, some pretty teenager tough. Just hung up on me.
I really did think that this was like part of the government conspiracy, when really he's just a fucking white trash piece of cracker shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Listen, I recognized a lot of possible family members in that cast.
This really is the Red Scott story.
A lot of very familiar living situations.
it's like somehow if the giant ginger was the main character.
About relatives that have long since been cut off. Listen, actual names of family members of mine, Maynard, Delwyn.
What? How much moonshine does your family produce on an annual basis?
I don't know. The last time I talked to them, I was too young for them to share that information.
And the next time you talk to them, they'll be dead.
I'll tell you what, though. The amount of Coca-Cola that Delwyn consumes per day should not be legal.
Yeesh. Well, that's why he can't live near the bottling plant.
Nope. I think he might also have the adult version of that toothless disease.
Ugh.
Now the cops come back to the bike, mm-hmm, back to the house with the bike. And one thing that they shot this weird, and I had forgotten that the bike was left pretty close to the house that he lived in. So they just picked up the bike at the road, then walked to the house, and were like, he must have gotten back here. So they start searching the house, and eventually the sheriff is led to the shed. The dog is outside barking at the shed. Yeah. So very good clues. Very good supernatural shoes.
Full credit. That actually noticing the little mark in the wall was actually some very good adult detective work.
Yeah. Like, somebody came in the door and like flung the door open.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, wow, this guy is actually a competent, greasy sheriff character. You don't see a lot of the competent greasy sheriff.
No, you don't. And we've gotten hints at a more complicated backstory. We know he had a daughter that died at some point, but and we also get hints that he moved here from a much larger city,
the generic big city,
right? Which I'm going to assume in Indiana,
Pawnee.
Is Pawnee. He's probably from Pawnee. Maybe Eagleton. I don't know.
He strikes me as a former Eagletonian.
Former Eagletonian, yeah. So he goes into the shed. What is it with people and going to enclosed spaces and then closing the door behind them? That is not the move you want to be making.
No. The whole time I was like, he needs a lot more natural light in this scenario.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, good adult detectiving. Mm-hmm. He sees that somebody has handled the ammo and that the gun is missing.
Yeah.
The light bulb, I must say, is being very loud based on what I know about light bulbs.
And then he focuses on a disarray of cardboard boxes.
Yeah. Which like weirdly draws him in. He starts getting hypnotized. And Sheriff Rivers Cuomo knocks him out of it.
It's like, hey, man, we have to go record Maladroit.
Hey, I have no feelings.
It's not going to take that long. It's only going to take like 29 minutes.
Well, I mean, actually, it makes sense that they started recording Maladroit in 1983. It took a while for them to come out with that album.
Really did.
And then he's sort of brought back to reality. And with as weird of an experience as he has in that corner, it's kind of strange that he sort of gives it up immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, no, I would rather get out of here. Nothing creepy happened here.
Yeah, I do hate that they did the, hey, I've been calling you fake out.
Yeah.
That's always my least favorite fake-out scare. The other person who is not a murderer has been calling you, but you haven't been able to hear them because you've been put into a situation where you could possibly be about to be murdered.
I don't know why you're jumping ahead and assuming that this guy isn't going to be a murderer. I feel like Rivers Cuomo has it in him to kill.
He really does. There's so many Japanese schoolgirl murders that have gone unsolved.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there any chance that somebody in the local sheriff's department isn't being paid by the creepy government institution?
Oh, fuck. That's a very, very fair call to make.
Yeah. I don't know who it is. They may just be doing it on the side, but somebody in there. Maybe even the administrative person who works in the
secretary, the bootleg Margot Martindale secretary.
I realized for a second that I was reaching for secretary, then I realized I had no idea if that was actually her job. I was like, that could be his supervisor. I have no idea.
Listen, not back in the 80s. I remember women weren't allowed to have positions of power.
They were only allowed to nag you about your lack of professionality.
Exactly.
Or professionalism, depending on which word was involved.
It's a good thing there's not a woman here to correct you.
So the main kids, we go to Will's house with his sister, Nancy. I'm getting these names. Mm. And Steve. It never occurred to me how dick of a move it is to say... So the mom is... okay, so there's the scene where the mom is at the table mm-hmm. with the... God, who is... Man, I'm losing... Okay, so Will's...
Oh, we do get the search party banter first.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, it's divided by... Yeah, because there's the first bit of search party banter, and then there's the scene with the family, and then we get the very ham-fisted dead daughter exposition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty ham-fisted.
Yeah. So it's basically like... The kid is like, hey, nobody else cares about my fucking stupid missing friend. And the dad is like, well, I guess your friend is just going to die then. And everybody's like, God damn it, stupid white dad.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So that's the scene I was talking about. So it's the main kid who is not Will. I forget his name. And his sister, Nancy. And they're at the dinner table. Mm. And... It never, like, I've seen this scene a million times, but for some reason, not until now when I'm 33, it had never occurred to me, like, how cruel it is to say to a child, yeah, don't go looking for your friend who's missing and might be dead.
Everybody is really way too low-key about a missing child.
Yeah, it's, like, I get that it's coming from a, hey, we're trying to keep you safe place, but it really does come off as, listen, we need to write him off.
Everybody knows that if you don't find them in the first 24 hours, you're probably not going to find them.
Right. Just imagine your friend is a corpse and get over it. And everyone's mad at Ted for realizing the futility of the situation and not reacting.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted is like, well, listen, we all return to the dirt one day, so.
So, obviously, not that big of a deal.
What did I say?
Happens every time. We get the sheriff... With the search party?
Oh, yeah, and the teacher is like, hey, maybe I'll get your dead daughter next year in class. Oh, and he even tried to do the my daughter's not really dead thing.
Yeah, the sad dad version of my girlfriend lives in Canada.
No, my dead daughter lives with my ex-wife in Canada.
And then they show D11. Oh, no. I wrote in the notes... I thought, oh shit, is Sarah D11? Which would be a great turn, but I don't think it's been set up for that.
No. We get the kid goes out trying to look for his friend, and he sees the I just love this when the horny teen is trying to climb up the roof, and the kid comes out, and they just look at each other like,
They're both just like, let's just both let this pass. Also, the kids are incredibly cool with their handheld CB radios.
Man, there was nothing cooler than being an AV club.
Man, so I looked up those radios, and there's two knobs on the front. One says volume, the other one says, and I'm not joking, squelch, squelch, squelch. There's a dial. You tone in how much squelch you want, which I would think would be at zero almost all of the time.
Oh, no, I've had my squelch up.
That explains why I sounded so thirsty. All this squelch in my voice.
Just squelching it all night.
Yeah, we get the three kids on bikes with the lights, which always ends well in Spielberg Horrorland.
By the way, did you see the movie Super 8?
Yeah, Super 8 was good.
Yeah, this
remind me a lot of Super 8, yeah.
It's very Super 8. I keep hoping that, but, you know, it's not going to turn out to be too much of a Super 8 rip.
Uh-huh.
Because inherently, that I feel like that movie was kind of disposable and a bit stupid.
Yeah, I felt about Super 8 how I feel about every comic book movie. Like, I watch it, and I was like, oh, I just had fun for an hour and a half. And then 20 minutes later, you could be like, tell me a single detail. And I'd be like, I cannot do that. That is not a thing that I can do. Nothing stuck with me at all.
The coach from Friday Night Lights was in it.
I had forgotten that. I can literally, this is all I can tell you. I can tell you there was a train at one point, and that they used Super 8 camera. That's the list of things I know.
That's pretty much it.
There were some child actors. I don't remember if there were actual aliens or not.
There was.
Okay.
There was that actual alien. That,
way to ruin that. It for all the people who haven't seen Super 8. Also, listen. Me, in case I decided to watch it again.
I'm sorry that I spoiled a movie that you already watched.
Yeah, it's yeah. Also, don't mention any comic book movies for that reason. Wait. Do the X-Men come out on top in this one?
I think they actually do.
I think they do.
I still haven't seen Apocalypse. It's supposed to be very bad.
Apocalyptic. Okay, so D11. Plus Benny, she's eating ice cream. He's washing dishes. And then, CPS woman walks
in. The minute I saw her face, I was like, she is trying to look way too understanding for her to not be a murderer.
Yeah, and then, and she straight shoots him with a silencer. They have special weapons. And then she kills all of them.
Yeah. Oh, no, she just kills the two guys. Who tried to stand
in her way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and she fucking kills them. Good. It's like telekinetic silverware into the face.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty great. I forget how she... I don't remember if that's this episode. But really... And there was a really good song at this moment, though I couldn't place it. I don't know if you took note of that.
Oh, I didn't take notes on the song, on the soundtrack, because it's basically like a lot of 80s hits, I believe... Toto by Africa
is the only one that I wrote down. It's literally like two scenes later.
Yeah,
Toto's Africa plays.
They drop the Clash in the next episode.
Clash is great.
Yeah, you know, it's all solid 80s hits.
Yeah, they're going pretty well.
Yeah,
and then so she's down to murder people who are trying to take her back to the Gaussian jail punishment room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fucking. I have just been on such a journey with Burly Diner Cook.
Ah, yeah, and now,
his watch has ended.
All good things must come to an end.
Truly,
the three genius kids are out to save the day. And what is the? By the way, so one thing that has not been drawn is what is the connection between telekinesis kid and monster? They both have telekinesis powers. Is she some sort of half-alien hybrid? Has her DNA been modified?
She is able to speak, but has very limited vocabulary.
Right. I mean, her speech is very... only when the plot demands it.
Mm-hmm.
And so... It's not clear if she has some sort of speech problem, or if that's just she hasn't been taught a lot of words.
Yeah. I assume it's a hasn't been taught a lot of words scenario because she is able to fairly quickly learn words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the three genius kids are out to, and by the way, I'm using genius pejoratively here. I'm wondering.
These kids all look pretty stupid.
Yeah. And so Toothless feels the rain. He wants to chicken out, which I'm going to say is a strong fucking instinct.
Oh, yeah. I identify with this kid so much.
Yeah. He wants to get out of here. He wants to make it happen, and it does not make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve and Nancy are studying.
Oh, God. Being a horny teen was just so fucking cheesy back then.
Yeah.
It's like these days, you just exchange photos of your buttholes and damn, you're done.
that's all you do.
It really is.
She is not down, but then Toda's Africa starts playing.
Oh, and everybody knows ladies get wet when they hear about the rains of Africa.
Yeah, that's there's some transference there. The classic, are you crazy? My parents are here. It's like, come on. They're not in this room.
Oh, that's a classic 80s scumbag move. I just want this guy to die already. I know he's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
But I want him to die now.
I'm not Amy or Lori or Becky with the good hair.
Oh, and then he's like, oh, no, you're not a slut. And she's like, I could be a little bit of a slut if I wanted.
I had never seen that move before of the overly aggressive guy accusing her of slut-shaming other women, and then she has to prove that she's not slut-shaming by being a slut.
This is some...
Psychologically, there's a solid framework there.
This is some hardcore PUA shit.
Yeah. No, that's next level. I didn't even know that existed.
It's like feminist PUA.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. I hope it doesn't happen in the future. It's not a great move. Yeah. So, and the bear... The like stuffed bear mm-hmm. looks identical to my childhood bear, but not worn down nearly enough, and with one too many eyes.
Oh,
come on! If you have a childhood stuffed animal, it doesn't make it to adulthood with two eyes.
All right, I guess I was just the only one who had an obsessive compulsive disorder and who really instinctively tried to keep all of his toys in order.
No, that's that was not my situation. No, he's still around, but he's got some scars.
He's really very Toy Story, huh?
Yep. Winona and Elder, creepy-looking son, looking through some black and white pictures, he's like, I've been driving a white van and murdering children. now they're, and then they're having like a poor family guilt off.
Oh.
The oldest son like, I should have been watching it. No, I should have been watching it. But I was working hard because you're not a sufficient provider. And it's like, you shouldn't have to do that. And he's like, but I do because you're not a sufficient provider.
Oh, and I just love every time there's a how many breakfast scenes there are with this fucking stupid teen making shitty looking scrambled eggs and one slice of toast.
Yeah, it's yeah. It. I mean,
it is a quality dirtbag teen.
If you're looking for a complete breakfast, it was lacking milk, orange juice, another slice of toast, some Pop-Tarts, some
one or
bagels,
two sausages,
and a few sausages. Those, and then also some Fruit Loops.
It's part of a complete breakfast.
The complete breakfast was like 5,000 calories. I don't think
it really was.
The complete breakfast, they never mentioned that it's for a 6'9" power lifter.
the Thor Bjornsson diet.
He's the only guy who's looked to the Kellogg's a complete breakfast and was like, this is perfect. That's exactly what I need to be eating every
this
morning.
This is enough food for me.
The phone rings. I do not like this followed call. There's a focus on some heavy breathing. Mm-hmm. There are some weird noises. And then the phone explodes.
Oh, and this was excellent sound work because you could just like hear the alienness in it.
Yeah, it like really conveyed. Because I think a lot of times someone would shoot this scene and then watching it, you'd be like, there's no way she could have known that there was anything alien or weird happening about that. But when you watch that, you were like, there's definitely something alien and weird happening about that.
Oh, yeah. You can just like hear the fucking... weird alien muscles of it creeping, and it's very effective.
The creepiest part of this scene, though, is the fact that the son's jeans, the back pockets have zippers. The back pockets of his jeans have zippers, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And I went back three times to verify that.
We left so much horror back in the 80s.
Yeah, I have to assume that's some like off-brand of jeans that's cheaper, and that they're going for a really deep pull on that, but it was just a bizarre look to it.
And then the phone electrocutes her.
It does electrocute her and explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, phones are expensive.
That they are. $22.50, I believe, according to the next episode.
Yeah, that's right. That's around $60 after inflation.
Yeah, I believe so.
Kids walking through the rain. Two-thirds of the kids are down for this search. Dustin mm-hmm. is the toothless one. I figured it out at this point. He makes an excellent horror movie point. Does it bother anybody that something bad happened over here and we're going the exact same way?
I love this kid. He's saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah. And then they run into the little girl who is terrifying.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like, oh no, night girls.
Yes. They're like, we're already terrified by girls in the first place.
But girls at night? No, thank you.
No, thank you. And huh. Well, that was an end to an episode.
Yeah.
So I will say, as somebody who is not familiar with all the stuff that it's referencing, all of the other films that it's referencing, mm-hmm. I get all the 80s references. Really fun show.
I, as somebody who does get all of the references, I will say I'm a lot more permissive of something being very much an homage sort of remix deal.
Yeah.
Because of my youth growing up in the world of turntablism.
sure.
Yeah. So I approve of this. You know, it's very well shot.
Yeah.
It's very well shot. It's very well made. The acting is of generally high caliber.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten enough of the story to not enjoy it.
Right.
So I am enjoying it now.
And agree. I'm probably going to power through this before.
Oh yeah,
before
as am I. I think I'll be done with this week easily.
Yeah. I mean, and I have to say, so far I'm a big fan of the Duffelbag Brothers.
Those duffels. Yeah. Oh, I love those duffels.
Yeah. A lot of people go with the roller bags. They have a little more structure, but it turns out the duffels have some redeeming qualities.
Yeah, like you can fit 8 heads in there.
That is one of their most redeeming qualities.
It really is.
All right, so I think that about does it for us this week. Next week, we will be back on Book Club, mm-hmm. And we'll try and cover. So some people have asked us, we're trying to cover 3 or 4 chapters an episode. Has not happened so far. These chapters at the beginning of the books have been long. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they revert back to their previous length, and we'll be able to cover more. But until then, we're you know trying to keep the episodes not going too much longer than 90 minutes for the book club, so...
reading is dumb.
Reading and taking notes is awful as always.
Really, if we were doing just straight book club for this entire year, by the way, we have official confirmation, 7 episodes starting in the summer.
Starting in the summer. They haven't said explicitly when in the summer, but the summer starts officially, what is it, like late June?
Yeah, I would say May
July
23rd.
Or August.
Is the earliest you can say it's summer.
Yes. And that's, you know, open to interpretation. Yeah. So we want to do these other episodes to mix it up a little bit. Also, it'll give us, in the future, an opportunity to have guests who don't have to do homework.
And let me tell you, I would say book club is the least amount of guests we have for any of the things we do.
It's so hard to ask someone to, like... read multiple chapters and also have them have good chemistry with us and also be available. It's a lot.
It's really a fucking 2 out of 3 deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with that, yeah, thanks for listening. You can find us on Facebook, just search for Boars, Gore, and Swords. You can find us on Twitter, search for @BoarsGoreSwords. If you want to support us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/BoarsGoreSwords.
We are actually dropping the episode early for the Patreon listeners.
Well, they know that.
I mean, the Patreon listeners know that. Maybe some of the regular listeners who haven't yet kicked in a few bucks to us, which they really should do, because we've been providing a steady amount of good content for 5 years now. Yeah. So why don't you kick us a fucking few bucks, you cheapskates?
Hey, calm down.
Why don't you kick us a few bucks, you cheapskates?
We would very much appreciate it. Patreon.com/BoarsGoreSwords. You can find us on Twitter @BoarsGoreSwords. You can find Ivan on Twitter @Ivan_Hernandez.
And you can find Red on Twitter @Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.